As Tim said, our reading is Romans 15, and we're starting at verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you, that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord. And every Sunday this year, and every time you meet midweek, as well as just by yourself individually and opening the Word of God, we come with hungry hearts, we come with open ears, we want to hear what God is saying to us. And I really encourage you on every opportunity you have this year to open your ears, to say a prayer, to ask for God's help, and let's come at this as those who need to hear from God. I remember years ago a person said to me, or he was giving a seminar, and he said, the reason I open the Bible by myself is not because I want to, it's not just because I ought to, it's because I need to. I need to hear from the Word of God. And we hear so many voices during the week, during every day. Here is the one voice we need to hear above all others. Let's pray. And so, Heavenly Father, this evening we come to you as those who needing to hear from you. Please, we pray, would you open our eyes, open our hearts, and having heard this, open our lips, that we may be those who speak wonderful truths to others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning of February, we'll pick up our main series for the year. But in the month of January, we're looking at single verses, or as it happens this year, pairs of verses. And although we've had a longer reading read there, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 from chapter 15. Let me read them. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need me to tell you that ours is a divided world. You look at the Middle East and you see Iran and America sparring together. You see Iraq with and Syria with all the different factions there. You see Israel and the Palestinians. You move over to Africa and you see the civil wars going on in different countries there, in Mali, in Cameroon, in Nigeria. You look at the Western democracies and you see situations that are more polarized than at any time, perhaps in our lifetime. And maybe we don't need to look overseas at all to find some division. For most of us, we look inwards at our own families even, or wider families, and see causes of tension. Or we see relationships with people we once would have considered close friends, or relationships at work, colleagues, that we find strained in different ways. We don't have to look far to see that this world is a broken world. And truth be told, there's not much that we can do to fix it, not by ourselves. Humanity's been trying that for a long time now. But what we cannot do, God is able to do. And if we ask the question, what on earth is God doing? And then look at the scriptures, what we find is this amazing plan unveiled for us where God is changing things, is turning things on their head, is transforming this world to reverse the troubles that we have caused. Because in this world there is division and chaos. But one day there will be a beautiful harmony. A beautiful harmony when the troubles of this world are reversed and when God himself establishes the majestic and the beautiful rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This plan is for him to bring everything, every power and authority, every person and every creature, every will and every desire under the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. And already the plan is underway. In fact, in the church in Rome, it was obvious it was underway. This was a church made up of very, very different people, people from different backgrounds, people who naturally perhaps would have been divided, the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, the religious and the irreligious, those who believed in one God and those who believed in many gods. And above them all, those who were made up of Jew and Gentile. And a more pronounced difference one could not have found in the whole of the ancient world. This was a church made up of divided people. And yet through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God was at work to bring them together. He'd brought them into unity, believing in one Saviour and one Lord through one faith, Jesus. And now in chapter 15, he prays this wonderful prayer for a spirit of unity among themselves as they follow Christ, so that with one heart and mouth, they might glorify God. That's what we want this year, isn't it? To glorify God. And the way we do that is by being united together. And when we look at the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, what we see is the whole letter was designed to show how in every way God had been at work to bring them into one fellowship, on one level, with one faith in one God. And what I want to do is give a quick overview of the letter to establish that, and then to consider some of the implications for Latimer Church in 2020. If you have a look at the first three chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans, we see how all people have the same problem. That is, the same disease afflicts all of humanity, an instinctive unwillingness to acknowledge the reign and rule of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Every person, we're told in chapter 1, knows of the reality of God from his amazing creation. And yet, as if we were pushing a cork under the surface, we're told that every person suppresses the truth of that knowledge. That is, no one wants to acknowledge God as their God. They may acknowledge there is a God, but they don't want him to reign over their lives. And many of us can look back at times in our lives when we were a part of that same problem, trying to suppress the knowledge of God. And straight away, at a stroke, Paul undercuts all human pride within the congregation. He's saying every one of us was in the same boat. That's why Christians should be slow, very slow, to judge each other and to judge other people. For we know that naturally we stand condemned under the judge of Almighty God. Here is the great problem facing humanity, that we stand under the righteous wrath of a holy God. And the distinctions of the world melt away in that context. The educated and less educated, the richer and the poorer, the physically stronger and the mentally quicker. Who cares when we stand condemned by Almighty God? We're all on a level, no one higher than another. Then in chapters 3 to 4, Paul goes on to show how the Christians in Rome, they've all benefited from the same solution. Chapter 3 and verse 21, that turning point where Paul says, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. That is, there is now a way of being made right with Almighty God. And that way of being made right has come apart from the law and apart from the prophets. Nothing to do with what we do, but has come from God as a gift. And suddenly the way is open. The way is open for all people, whoever they are, whatever background they come from, whatever ethnicity, whatever kind of life they've lived. The way is open for every person or any person to have a saving knowledge of God and a personal relationship with God, to go from being condemned to being adopted as the children of God. It's a wonderful truth. And again, what Paul is saying is, therefore, since you've all experienced this grace, there is not one of you who is higher in the church than another. Whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, you're only here by the grace of God. God who took pity on us. God who has shown mercy to us. God who has taken us, whether we were prince or pauper or clean-cut or rogue or Maori or Pākehā or wealthy or poor or religious or irreligious. He's taken us, whatever our background, to be in the same position. There's no room for spiritual pride. And it makes no difference to us. It makes no difference to us at Latimer Church, therefore, whether we've been a Christian for 2 minutes or for 30 years or 100 years. We're all on the same level. There's no difference between the staff and the lay people, or the minister and the lay people. We're all on the same level. There's not two levels of Christians. And more than that, because we're justified by God and have received this justification, it means we don't have to try to be justified before each other. It's a wonderful liberation that comes through the gift of grace through Jesus Christ. We all got there through Christ. It wasn't through being intelligent or better than anyone else. It's the grace of God that puts us all on the same level. Then in chapter 5, we learn that the privileges, therefore, that we receive as Christians, they are the same. We have the same status. We receive the same status so that we stand, all of us stand, in the grace of God, the wonderful grace of God that means that God can never love you more than he does today and will never love you less either. True for all of us. And standing in the grace of God, as we do, means that we've received the peace of God. In a world which is restless, we know the privilege of being at peace with Almighty God. And in a world that is without hope, we've received this sure and certain hope. The hope one day that we will be with Christ and with his people from across the ages, from down the ages and across the world, will be with him, worshipping Christ in the new creation. These are privileges given to every single Christian. In some other religions, the more you do, the better it gets for you. I remember when a Jehovah's Witness came to my door one day, and I decided actually I was up for a conversation. Regretted it sometime later. But we chatted and chatted and chatted and chatted, and I said to this person, I mean, the good thing for you is that now you've come door knocking, your credit with God will have increased. He said, no, it doesn't work like that. But after a while, he did admit that actually his 10 hours of door knocking a week would help in that way, would help his status with God. Now, for us, we know that our privileges are the same. We don't have to try that way. We have this hope that is given to us through grace. It's a hope that we will one day live in a real physical place, as physical as this world is. I don't know if you've managed to go on holiday, if you've had that luxury this summertime, and perhaps you've seen some amazing views, or paddled in some beautiful water, or basked in some lovely sun, and being able to enjoy the amazing countryside of New Zealand. All of those joys are just a foretaste of the joy of being in the new creation. But this time, with God's people from around the world, it'll be an amazing experience. And that'll be our experience forever and ever in the presence of Christ one day, which is guaranteed to us through his death and resurrection. This world is always telling us that the best rewards of this world are visible ones, ones to be seen here and now. Whereas we know that the best rewards are those to come in the life to come. And our job, or one of our jobs, is to encourage each other en route. We are to be those who metaphorically get our hands around other Christians and encourage each other as we march forward in the Christian life. We're to spur each other on. To love and to good deeds. We're to build each other up. We're to help make sure that no one gets left behind in this journey of which we're a part. Then in chapters 6 to 8, we read that the expectations of the Christian life are the same. The benefits are the same. The expectations are the same. And the expectations are of real change and transformation. Chapters 6 to 8 speak of a glorious picture where we are transformed from the inside out. And it comes through the Holy Spirit, which God gives to us. He gives to us new desires. He gives to us a new life. He gives to us new aims and new passions in life. I take it that's why you're here this evening. Not because someone sort of put a gun to your head, kind of made you come. It was because you wanted to be here. But why did you want to be here? The reason you wanted to be here is because God himself gave you that desire. He put it in your heart. And that's the transformation which is underway already. And yet it's tempered in chapter 7 by the fact that our expectations need to be realistic. Our sinful nature continues to dog us. And that's why we have to show grace to one another. At best, the church is a hospital for sinners, for sick people. And that's us. God is at work within us. He is at work changing us. It's so encouraging to see that in other people. And yet in this world, none of us are a finished work. We're a work in progress. And that's why we need patience one with another. From time to time, we have to expect to apologize to people. There's no shame in that. It's entirely consistent with what we say we believe, that we're not completed at the moment, but our work's in progress. We are in a training school of godliness. We've not graduated from it. And every one of us at Latimer Church, for every one of us, the Christian life will be a struggle. Now, that's the same across the board. It's the same. The struggles may vary, but the fact that Christian life is a struggle is the same. This is the nature of it. There's encouragements. There's hope. There is the Holy Spirit to empower us and strengthen us. Yet at the same time, it's hard work, and we keep making mistakes. And yet through it all, he is transforming us. And in chapters 12 to 16, we read of the responsibilities we have, which are the same responsibilities. Belief is never to remain only in the mind. The Christian life is not about mental assent, but it's about lives that are transformed by the knowledge of the love of God. We follow a Savior who sacrificed himself once for all, and now we're to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. This is a paradox. We've been made alive, and as those who've been made alive, we're now to die. We're to die every day, to die to self as we offer our bodies as living sacrifices in service of God. And the great emphasis of chapters 12 to 16 is how we're to use the lives that God has given us for the upbuilding of the people of God. Paul speaks of how we're to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devoted. It's a very strong word. For we are the gathering that God is gathering, and we're now to show our commitment to the others that God has brought into his family. We're to share with God's people in need. I find it so encouraging to hear in church life of the ways in which people share and give generously to those in need, even within the church family. Ever since I've become a Christian, I've known countless examples of way in which people provide for others within the church family simply because they are followers of Jesus Christ as well. We're to practice hospitality. That doesn't mean six-course dinner. It means showing generosity to those who are coming in from outside. Perhaps it means a cup of coffee. It means showing time for people, having time for people. We're to let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. The point is, we all have the same responsibilities. These are not for some Christians, not just for those who've been Christians for ages and ages, but for any and all who follow Christ. And in the midst of all of this, we come to these verses for this evening. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the giver. He's the giver. He gives endurance, and the Christians in Rome would certainly need that, and so do we. He also gives encouragement. They needed that, and so do we. But here Paul prays that he would give them a spirit of unity. That is, having united them together by the gospel, into Christ, he now prays that God would grow this unity, that he would give them a spirit whereby this unity would actually increase, month on month and year on year. This is why God has saved us. He saved us to reverse the divisions of the world. He's united us in Christ so that we may glorify him together, so that we might have as a church the same aim, be driven by the same passion, desire the same outcome, be focused on the same ends, and worship the same God, praising him with one mouth and one heart. That in our differences, which are many, we would be united in this greatest thing and in this master passion to glorify God along with all his people. And the question for us at the beginning of New Year is, what can we do? Individually, what can you do to help foster this spirit of unity? What part can you play? Because I'll tell you what, God has got a plan for you. A plan for you to bring blessing to other people. The Christian life, as I was saying earlier, it's not individual. We need individual faith in Christ. But God has called you as an individual for you to be of benefit to other people. And often it takes us a long time to realize this, that everything we do has an impact on others, for good or ill, but let's say for good in this realm. Every time you decide to come and meet with the people of God, others benefit. You say, well, I doubt it. I wasn't in a great mood and, you know, I didn't really chat to anyone. I sort of had a cup of tea and went home. No. But you underplay the benefit that you've brought to others simply by meeting with them. Many of the things that we do tonight, truth be told, we could have done at home. I mean, we could have heard a sermon at home. On the internet, we could have sung songs by ourselves. We could have had a cup of coffee and a cake. We could have said some prayers. Most things were done tonight. There's only one thing, in fact, we couldn't have done, by definition, which was to meet with each other. I mean, that is why we've come together this evening, to do this together. Everything else you could have done by yourself at home. But this one thing, by definition, we do together, which is to see other people, to build each other up in the faith, to reaffirm. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's hard anyway. But it's much, much harder when we isolate ourselves out. God didn't intend that. He wanted us to come together and to grow together. And that takes time. So let me suggest a couple of different directions that this may all cut in. First of all, positively, how can we grow in unity? Maybe it requires you to spend a little bit more time together. I said earlier that early Christians, they met together, we're told, every day of the week. And for us, that may be difficult. I think, really? 7 days. Of course, through technology, we can keep in touch actually much more easily than people could in the first century. So that's one way. But of course, nothing beats the face-to-face. And to say, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm doing every Sunday, you can count on me, I'll be here, is the way to set a foot forward in the Christian life and say, I'm committed to you, and I'm committed to the people here. And so I challenge you to say, you will be in church, barring war and pestilence and the occasional holiday or whatever it is, you will be in church every Sunday evening. If we ever want to find you and track you down, you'll be here at 7 o'clock every Sunday evening this year, because that is a mark of your commitment to be part of this great project to build up the people of God. It is to say, no, I'm not going to do anything else. I'll do this. I'll tell you what as well. It makes the Christian life much easier when you don't have to make a decision every single week. Am I going to go to church tonight? Well, I don't know. What else is on? What are you doing? What are they doing? How am I feeling? Have I got enough energy? No. Don't worry about it. Just say, no, that's what I do. I'll be there. You don't even have to think about it. Makes it a whole lot easier. Maybe it means when I am with the people of God, actually trying to engage a little bit more. Now, when we first start off as Christians, we tend to think, okay, the important thing is I hear the word of God. And of course, that's not wrong. It is important. It's vital. But we're hearing it together, and therefore the relationships between Christians matter as well, matter hugely. So I encourage you not only to come, but to come in order to build up others. There are many ways you can do that. You can say a prayer before you come. When you come, you can see someone who's sitting alone and sit with them without passing on your personal details to them. When you're sitting with them or next to people, you can pray for them during the service. Afterwards, you can engage people in conversation. We spoke about small groups earlier and the commitment to pray for each other in a small group through the week and then to find out how God's answered those prayers is a great blessing to people. Maybe for some of us it means reaching out a bit with some hospitality to others, meeting up with an individual for a coffee. Maybe there's someone that you can meet up with once a week to open the Bible together. You don't need to know it before you do it. You can just meet up and let's do this in a lunch break or whatever it is. Maybe for some of us, we've not been to a church prayer meeting. Now, we have a weekly church prayer meeting here, and you are always warmly invited to that. But we have a whole church prayer meeting four times a year when I think you should be present, definitely. And if you haven't been to those yet, I really encourage you to come. The first one is coming up in 2 or 3 weeks' time in February. Get down here. We have one at the beginning of each term. This is a way of you saying, I'm in for this. I'm joining with the people of God to pray to Almighty God for the work that we hope Him, that we want Him to do and I beg for Him to do in this year ahead. That's a way of you saying, I'm committed to the unity of this church and I want it to grow in our purpose together as we serve God together. Maybe for some of us, there are family relationships to look at, and maybe there are relationships that we've allowed to fall into disrepair for no great or serious reason, and we need to get onto those as well. And maybe it's up to us, the ball is in our court, to do something there so that this spirit of unity may grow. So what will you do? What change will 2020 bring for you over 2019? This is not about someone telling us what to do. This is about you playing your part to be part of God's project to bring about the unity of His people as He gathers people from across the world. But while attending to the front door, we shouldn't leave the back door unattended. The front door is what we can do positively. The back door is what we need to guard against. Bearing in mind that if God's plan is to build up His people from around the world, the devil's plan is to destroy it, were he able to do that. The devil's plan is to sow seeds of division, not to say laziness, and to tear down the work which God is building up. Maybe for some of us, we need to recognize that the devil has a bit of a field day with us at the moment, because truth be told, we have a bit of a soft underbelly and we're just a slow-moving target. We kind of make choices dependent on just how we feel. You know, how am I feeling? Oh, I feel a bit tired for church. Or, you know, I feel a bit sort of tired for this, that, the other. Devil says, thank you very much. That is just very easy for me to deal with this kind of person. They are led by how they feel from day to day rather than their convictions. Maybe you are the kind of person who gets easily discouraged. And if that is you, then I say to you, you just need to hang in there in the Christian life. You need to hang in there. It's a long journey. And if we allow ourselves to get discouraged, we will fall off the wagon at some point along the way. What we need to do is stay with the group. This is the safe place. This is the safe place where we can encourage each other and to draw encouragement from other people. Another thing I've gained over the years from being part of a small group is some of the people, individuals who stand out. I've been in many, many, many different groups, and I can look back and see some of the people who've encouraged me. Sometimes because people have had a really tough set of circumstances in their lives. But the fact they come along and the fact they still trust God in their difficult circumstances is so encouraging for us. I've been in a group with someone not too long ago who has a disabled member of their family they look after, And the fact that he can keep going in this really tough life says to me, shut up and just get on with life, Costa. Stop complaining. I remember being in a small group some years ago, and we went around and prayer points. What are prayer points? Someone, you know, said, well, I'm a bit tired, a bit more energy. Someone said, I've got exams coming up, help me. There was a lovely man from the Sudan there that said, I haven't seen my wife and children for 11 years. Please, could you pray for them? The rest of us kind of, let's just cut short and get to prayer now. So the encouragement that others bring, and if you're someone that gets discouraged easily or you feel, oh, I don't really fit in here, I just encourage you to hang on in here, because the longer you spend with people, the more you'll find that God brings you that encouragement. Maybe for someone else, we need to be a bit slower to take offence, that we find we're actually quite quick to take offence, and we feel that someone's treading on our toes, or that sort of thing. And it is possible to choose mercy over offence and to overlook the wrongs of others, as God has done for us. Whatever it is, there is a positive role for us to play, and we need to guard the back door against the devil's work at the same time. The unity we've had as a church has actually been a great blessing here over the years, and certainly when it came to separating out from the diocese, as some of you will know, year before last, I was so thankful to God for the incredible unity he'd given us around his word and around his gospel. What we need to do is pray that in 2020, God would grow us in that and make us more fruitful as together we sing praises with one heart and one mouth, proclaiming one message to this great city. Our mission here is to love Jesus and to love Christ Church. We need to pray that God would make us fruitful as we do that together. Let's bow our heads. A moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the faith in Jesus Christ that you have given to us. Lord, all through our lives, many of us here, we can look at other people, perhaps the schools we've been to or the families from which we've come, and many, many other people have not heard of the gospel or are not believing the gospel, and you've had mercy on us and chosen us. And I give you thanks for every person here who has faith in Christ, and pray that together you would bond us close, praying that you would give us this spirit of unity, and praying that this year ahead we would be more and more effective as we seek to love Jesus and to love Christ Church. Help us, I pray, to grow in closeness together. Help us to grow in our love one for another. Please, we pray, would you honour your name through us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.